The podcast, episode 22, Captured by Grace, continued. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. He's with me again, my son, Cade Daly.
I'm here.
I'm Ben Daly. I'm so glad you're back. I'm Ben Daly. Thanks so much for tuning in on whatever platform. What all platforms?
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you listen to podcasts. The Calvary app.
Yeah. YouTube.
Or the video format. Yep.
That's right. Make sure to add this podcast to your rotation. And hey, do me a favor. If you enjoy this episode of the podcast, leave a review, comment, like. Share it. Get the word out. Get good news out to everybody. Cade, I'm glad you're back.
We're back. We're back to talk about Captured by Grace, your new book.
My new book, Captured by Grace, Be Freed from Fear So You Can Really
Which
Live.
Which everyone should have in their library. Everybody should have it. But before we get into that, I got to know, we're in the new studio. How do you feel about the new studio?
Man, let me tell you something.
I like it.
The team, it's incredible. I love it. I'm so comfortable in here. It looks good. It feels good.
Mood room.
I love it. I love it. Well, you guys have been working on a bunch of new studios, but I this is my favorite one.
I love it. It's awesome. So talk to us. You talked to us last week about why you wrote it. You got into some lies. But for anyone who didn't watch it last week or listen last week, tune in last week, first of all, go back. Before you even listen to this one, go back. But touch on it really quick for anyone that missed it and doesn't want to go back. Why did you write Captured by Grace? What led you to do that?
Yeah, I told the story, remember, of Lieutenant Onata, yep. Who in the mid-1940s refused to believe the news, the good news, that the war was over,
yeah.
World War II. It was over. And his refusal to believe the good news kept him soldiering.
Yeah,
in the jungle, in his own little self-erected bubble of misery. Mm. And think about that. For 3 decades, nearly 30 years, Lieutenant Onata was engaged in a war that existed only in his mind. He's literally fighting an imaginary enemy that he feared, he distrusted. And what did I say? That's how a lot of us relate to God. Just opposed to God in our mind. We've made God an enemy in our mind.
Yeah.
And just think God's running after us on account of our sin, trying to take us out. And we hadn't heard, I guess, that, you know, there's been a cessation of hostilities. The war's been fought. The war has been won. The Prince of Peace is now sitting on the throne. And ignorant of the news and fearful of God, what are we doing? We're laying low.
In the jungle.
In the jungle of religion. And those lies, the lies of religion, they're contemptible because they're shameful because they bring doubt on the good news of God's grace. They're really keeping enslaved those whom Jesus loves. We've got to hear the good news. And here, talking about why did I write this book, I'll tell you why. Because I don't know if we've heard the real gospel. We've heard a counterfeit gospel.
Mm.
You know, talking about counterfeit, when your mom and I went to New York for the first time, a man on Canal Street, and if you know anything about Canal Street, that's like the holy grail for bargain shoppers. But a guy on Canal Street approached us and he whispered, he said, "You want to buy a Louis Vuitton handbag?" I think on that trip I bought you a fake.
I got a belt.
Yeah, you know, I think it fell apart.
It snapped.
The first time you wore it. But, well, when he says, "You want to buy a Louis Vuitton bag?" I didn't particularly want to buy a handbag, but when the guy gave me the price, man, I was intrigued. I thought, oh, I've stumbled on the bargain of the century.
Yeah.
I couldn't just buy one.
No.
And, of course, you know, these weren't real Louis Vuitton handbags he was selling. We knew that. But these copy handbags looked good enough for mom to carry, and it was only, you know, after I'd handed over my cash that we began to discover.
You inspected.
Yeah, how flimsy these counterfeits were. And while counterfeits may look real, like the real deal,
yeah,
they seldom work as they're supposed to. Mm. Think about all the things, you know, the pirated movie is shot out of focus. the fake handbag, you don't want to carry it in the rain. It'll dissolve in the rain. The luxury pen is like an ink explosion waiting to happen. The hour hand on the copy watch goes backwards.
Ooh.
Kate, it's the same story with counterfeit gospel. They look like real gospel, but they don't actually work. They don't set you free.
That's real.
They don't bring lasting peace. And any joy that comes soon runs out.
Mm.
Buy into a counterfeit gospel, and it won't be long before you find yourself burdened with doubt and debt and duty and despair and depression. And you'll discover that what you thought was good news is actually bad news sold with a fake label.
Mm.
Hey, my name is Jennifer, and I'd like to invite you to check out Calvary Church. If you enjoy the podcast today, I think you'd enjoy Calvary Church as well. You can join us in person or online, but we'd love to see you at one of our locations. For more details, check out calvarychurch.cc.
I think there's a lot of that going on in the church, and I believe the number one reason we have counterfeit churches is we preach a counterfeit gospel.
Yeah.
And we'll never have a real church unless we open our mouth and preach the real gospel. Do you know the difference? A counterfeit gospel says, you better love God. You better love God. But the real gospel declares, he loves you.
That's good.
A counterfeit gospel preaches, God can forgive you. The real gospel declares, he already has. A counterfeit gospel says, you better get holy.
Yeah.
But a real gospel declares that in Christ, you already are.
Thank you, Lord.
A counterfeit gospel will always what? Point to your badness, who you were in Adam. The real gospel reveals his goodness, who you are in Christ. A counterfeit gospel says God can. The real gospel says God has.
Mm.
And sadly, Cade, a vast majority of believers, I know we call ourselves believers, but I wonder, are we unbelieving believers?
Yeah.
But a vast majority of believers have been sold on a counterfeit gospel. They've bought into a message that looks like the real thing, but I think it's inferior, and it's time for the real thing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why I wrote Captured by Grace. I want us to start feeding on the real thing. And by the way, the real thing is not something, it's someone. It's Jesus.
That's good.
That's what Captured by Grace is about.
That's good. Something that I love that you say is you say, now how do you recognize the counterfeit? It's not by studying the counterfeit. It's by studying the real.
Yeah.
I love that. So feeding on the real.
Yeah, when I know what's real,
I can
recognize. When the counterfeit comes along,
like
I know.
Immediately.
I know.
Immediately.
Man, this thing, this gospel you say you're preaching, it doesn't bring me rest. It only makes me anxious. Mm. It doesn't bring joy. It doesn't bring peace. It only makes me depressed.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, religion will have you killing yourself.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's real.
I talk about in the book, slow suicide. Mm. I mean, trying to kill yourself instead of living life.
Yeah. Talking about counterfeit lies. Last week, we teased.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody was talking to us about, you know, why'd you stop it so early?
Yeah.
You couldn't. No. You're back. Okay. We touched on a few lies. You were going to touch on a few more today, but you didn't get all the way into, I must get closer to God. You kind of explained it a little bit. You got into James, you know, draw near to him and he will draw near to you. Dive into that. Really explain some of these lies that put people in these jungles.
Okay, so I'll bring some clarity to that James piece, James 4. And then maybe I'll do one more lie today. We'll see. Yeah, that's a big one. That lie, I got to get closer to God. Yeah. I must get closer to God. And we spend our lives, I got to get closer. And we've
learning the gospel, growing in grace, and knowing exactly what to say can seem like a challenge, but I promise it's not with Gospel Institute. Gospel Institute is a 10-course New Covenant education focusing on the spiritual realm, and we are already in the process of preparing more classes for you. Through a variety of courses, students will grow in God's grace and intimacy with Jesus to move beyond the understanding of saving grace to empowering grace. Gospel Institute will prepare students to lead their local churches and communities. For more info, check out gospelinstitute.cc.
All heard that. I've preached that. And we may think we've even read it in the Bible, that James 4:8, doesn't the Bible say, because I'll say, get closer to God. Well, doesn't the Bible say, James 4:8, draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. You got to get closer to God. And then he'll get closer to you. Mm. But what does the Bible really show us? When we realize, again, that we are in Christ. The in Christ revelation that Paul preached is the pin code that unlocks the new covenant.
Yep.
When we really realize in Christ, I'm in Christ, our conception of the relationship begins to radically change our relationship with God. You see, you don't get any closer than being in Christ. How do you get any closer than being in Christ? We don't get any nearer than Christ being in us. We don't get any greater intimacy than being one spirit with him. That's what the Bible says. We're one with him. So think about that for a moment. If you were going to get any closer to God, how are you going to do it? And we talked about that last week. Well, is it more Bible study, more hours in prayer, more fasting, whatever. You fill in the blank. And well, after you put in all that work, how would you really know you're any closer? Well, it's got to be a feeling. I feel it, you know. Well, feelings and emotions are fine, but are they always a reliable source of truth?
Yeah.
And it's important to realize that closeness is a fact, not a feeling. Mm. Yeah. And the Bible makes the fact that our closeness with God, oh, it's so clear. It has nothing to do with our feelings, because I don't always feel close. Yeah. Well, I get it. It has nothing to do with your feelings, and it's not based on any effort that you make. Man, here's the good news. We have been brought close by God, by the blood of Jesus, according to Ephesians 2, and we have been united to Christ forever. Yeah. By the resurrection, according to Romans 5. So it's the good news, again, the finished work of Jesus that makes us close. And so that's huge. And because we've been clean, we've been forever brought close. Then we look at something like, let's see, James 4 again, where it says, now hold on, you talk about this closeness, but James 4 says what? It says, you draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Okay, quickly, let's try to break this down.
Yeah.
Take a look at it. James 4, verse 8. Again, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Now, most of the time, that's what we get. We get these little bites, and we don't get the context.
And whole messages are based on that one thing.
That's right. But read the rest of the verse. Read above it. Read below it. What does the rest of the verse say? Context. You know, wash your hands. Look at the rest. Come near to God. He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Yeah.
So first off, James is addressing a subgroup within his audience who identifies as
sinners,
not saints.
Mm.
So in context, again, you take text out of context, all you're left with is a con.
Mm.
In context, he's speaking to a group of Jews who are what? He says, you're double-minded. That's it.
Double-minded.
You're double-minded. In other words, they're non-committal about their views of Jesus.
Mm.
This was the struggle, Cade, of for Jews who were hearing the gospel. Can you imagine the first time they're hearing the gospel and evaluating the claims of Jesus? Was he the Messiah or just a crazy, blasphemous guy sent by Satan? James is actually like a mini version of the book of Hebrews in the sense that it's written to a similar Jewish audience. He's talking to this subgroup here, which hasn't yet had their hearts purified through faith in Christ. Simply put, they're unbelievers, and they have a great need to what? Hey, come on, believe, draw near to God by abandoning your double-mindedness and embrace Jesus once and for all.
Yeah.
So it It's yet another example, Cade, of why context, and by the way, in my book, I deal a whole lot with context. There's a chapter called Rightly Dividing.
Okay.
And before versus after. But you take the text out of context, you're left with a con. Context is everything.
Yeah.
Context is everything. And because if you grew up in church, you probably heard this verse used to encourage you to get closer to God. You better draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. When in fact, this verse isn't even addressing
talking to me.
Those who are already believers and therefore already one spirit with Jesus. They're aware of their oneness. So really, you know what this is? This is an evangelistic plea to the unbelievers in the audience to what? Hey, it's time to get serious about Jesus. It's time to embrace him and stop being wishy-washy and double-minded. It's not a command for believers. No. So this lie right here, this lie one we've talked about, and there's a bunch, but this lie right here that if you're a believer, you need to spend your life worrying about getting closer to God. The truth of the matter is that you and God, good news, Cade, are inseparable.
That's good.
You've trusted Jesus.
That's good.
You've received the very life of Jesus. And listen, we may grow. Well, what about spiritual growth?
Yeah.
Well, you think spiritual growth is you just getting a little bit more righteous, a little bit more every day, hopefully.
Yeah.
No, you may grow in your experience of God's closeness. You may grow in the experience of intimacy with him through whatever the ups and downs of life. But those subjective experiences do not impede upon the objective reality that those who have trusted in Christ are as close to God as they will ever get. Literally, Paul says, joined on the spirit level with him. One.
That's good.
Wedded.
That's good.
Union. Such good news, because this means that all the huffing and puffing religion has shackled us with can be finally cast aside, and we can what? Take a deep breath, Cade, and rest and enjoy and live in that union with him. He has made us his home address.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Cade, if God had to give his home address, guess what? He'd have to give my name.
Mm.
What's your home address? It's Ben Daly. That's where I've chosen to live. It's Cade Daly.
Yeah.
That's where I've chosen to live my life. And I don't come and go.
Mm.
I made you my home.
Yeah.
Home. And I'm not going to leave you. And I'm not going to forsake you. Let me tell you, this is a word for people that are listening right now. I say, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. Yeah, but I'm dealing with things in this life right now. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. I'll never quit on you. I'll never divorce you.
That's good.
I'll never walk out on you. Just think if you could live from that place. Closeness with God. That lie, man, I got to get closer. Man, it's keeping people in those jungles of legalism and moralism, the jungles of religion, and you've got to come out. You've got to come out. Cade, there's another lie I want to look at, but guess what? I'm going to wait until next week. What do you think?
You're waiting again. You're teasing again. You're teasing again. Last question before we go.
Okay.
Before we go. What's the lie? What are they coming
back?
I'm
going to wait till next week.
Wait till next week.
Yeah.
Last question. Captured by Grace, you've been talking about it. Where do people get it? How do they connect with you?
Yeah, and I really want you to read it. If you're listening, if you're watching, I really want you read it. And, quickly, my personal website, bendaly.com. Amazon, yep. Barnes & Noble, Walmart, christianbook.com, Books A Million, Google Book, everywhere books are sold in 100 countries globally. But if you order at bendaly.com, I'm going to sign every one of those books. And I want to get it in your hands. And by the way,
so you should order from bendaly.com.
Well, you can. I don't care where you get it from.
That's true.
I don't care where you get it from. But if you do at bendaly.com, I'll sign it. And I will say this, that if you want teaching on this, at calvarychurch.cc, where I have the privilege of pastoring.
Yep.
We're a multi-locational church.
Yep.
All of our locations are in it. All of our gospel circles are walking through the book. I would say this, if you want more teaching on it, there's a series called Captured by Grace.
Yep.
And you can check it out there. But I,
which we started yesterday.
Faith comes by hearing this message.
That's good.
You hear this kind of teaching, faith comes alive on the inside of you. Hey, Cade, thanks for hanging out with
me
today.
Man, thank you for...
You know, I mean, and you're hanging out with me, and I feel bad because you're not talking that much. I'm talking the whole time.
You know, people want to know stuff. It's all right. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. I'm excited to be here.
Can't wait to see you next week on the podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure again, come on, leave a review, a comment, a like, share it. We want to get this good news out. We want people to live, really live, and that's what the gospel does. It gives you your life back. See you next time on...
the podcast.
Come on, somebody.
Hey, I want all pastors and leaders to listen up. One of Pastor Ben's greatest joys is to see people and churches growing in the gospel. With GCCM, you can get monthly connect calls, have direct access to the Calvary staff, graphic packages and videos, message series, and Gospel Institute access. For more info, check out gccm.cc.